Hope you will continue in the spirit of prayer. I sure do need it. In fact, both of us, as we stand before you tonight, need your prayers and the Lord's blessings. I'd like to speak to you tonight. It's fine. I think it's fine. I'd like to speak to you tonight on Peter's two fires. I'd like to speak from John chapter 18 and John chapter 21. One of these fires was man-made, and it was a fire that I would associate with Peter's denial. The other one was made by the Lord himself, and it was a fire of restoration, a fire that was able to warm the very soul of a disobedient child of God. Let's compare and let's notice those two fires for just a few minutes as we entered into this part of the service this evening. John chapter 18 begins with our Lord going into the Garden of Gethsemane and there to offer up praises unto God, or to prayers unto God at least, for the strength that he needed to face the great ordeal that Brother Stephen referred to in his prayer, his crucifixion. The Bible tells us earlier that one of his disciples by the name of Peter had stood before him and had said, "Though all men forsake you, I will not." He was quite bold in his confidence. He was quite bold in his faith to the Lord at that particular time. However, we notice that when they come to take the Lord, that Peter does something that so often we tend to do, and that is to rely on the arm of flesh to deliver us in difficult times. Remember when they came to take the Lord, Peter drew his sword and swung it, and cut off the ear of the high priest's servant. The Lord told him himself, said, "Put up thy sword. He that liveth by the sword shall die by the sword." And then the Lord showed his power, and I spoke on this the other Sunday at Pleasant Plains, and I'm going to rehash this part of it. But nevertheless, the Lord showed his power in speaking to those people and them just falling back as if they were dead men. The Lord has power. When the Lord speaks, there is power that's exerted. All he has to do to speak to someone who's dead in trespasses and sins, all he has to do is to speak to them, and life is imparted unto them. But Peter, then the Bible tells us that as they led the Lord Jesus Christ away, he said unto these men to let these go their way. Most of the disciples did that. They went on to their own places. Peter, however, the Bible tells us, followed the Lord. He didn't follow close enough to be identified with him. The Bible tells us he followed afar off. Sad to say, there are a lot of children of God that's living their lives trying to follow the Lord Jesus Christ afar off. That's a sad place to be walking in. It's a sad place to be living in. And I shall go so far as to say that's a cold place to be living in when you're following the Lord far off. Bible tells us then that they led Jesus Christ unto the palace of the high priest. And there was two disciples that followed him. Doesn't name who the other one was, but Simon Peter followed afar off. And then the scripture tells us that there was a lady, a damsel, who kept the door that said unto Peter, "Art thou also one of this man's disciples?" And he saith unto him, "I am not." He says, not only did Peter try to rely on the arm of the flesh, but when it came time for him to acknowledge the Lord Jesus Christ, or at least he had an opportunity to do it, he was reluctant to do it because he was standing alone and he was standing in the wrong company. You know, when we're walking with wrong kind of company, it's hard to stand up and acknowledge the Lord in our lives. It's hard to do right. It's much harder, at least, to do right when we're walking with the wrong crowd. When you're surrounded with the wrong crowd, it's much easier to do wrong, and we need to be careful about that. And then we find that Peter says, when he says, "Art thou one of his disciples?" he says, "I am not." Now notice the next verse. "And the servants and the officers stood there, who had made a fire of coals, for it was cold, and they warmed themselves. And Peter stood with him and warmed himself." Now, I know the Bible tells us it was cold. It was naturally cold. But I think there was something else that was beginning to go cold. And that was Peter's heart as he had denied the Lord. You ever denied the Lord in any way? Maybe you had an opportunity to do something or say something and you just failed to do it, refused to do it, did not do it. You ever had that condemning spirit? Maybe you said something you shouldn't have said or acted in a way that you shouldn't have acted. And almost immediately there was a spirit of conviction that came upon you. I think there was no doubt in my mind that Peter was that way. But not only did he... depend upon the flesh, and not only did he maybe put himself in a place where he ought not to be put, he resisted being identified with Christ because of the possible outcome. Well, if he had acknowledged that he'd been one of his disciples, he might have been in the exact same place that Jesus was. And so he denied that he was a follower of Jesus Christ. Sometimes that's the reason why we fail to do what we ought to be doing in the service of the Lord Jesus Christ. We look at the consequences of it, and having to take a stand, to be baptized, to follow Him, to acknowledge Him before the world, to humble ourselves by coming down and confessing that we're sinners and following Him in baptism. Baptism is a humiliating experience. It's a joyful experience when we follow the Lord and humble ourselves. But for the natural man, that's awful hard. Hard to do. I remember a Texas preacher one time, and I think he told it right here in this pulpit. He told about, I'm not sure it was here, but anyway, he told about how that he joined the church, and he was a little church, and it was on a Saturday night, I believe he said, and there's just a few folks there. And he was used to playing golf. In his past, he played golf with his buddies on Sunday morning. And he said he realized after he joined the church that the place where they baptized was right next to the golf course. And he said, sure enough, Sunday morning they got down there. And he says all of his buddies was playing. And he said they just stopped and watched. And he said he had to admit that he was a little embarrassed before his friends to go down in that water. But he says he felt so good when he came up out of that water. He just shouted, told them, play on. I got something better now. I tell you what, when you follow the Lord and identify with Him, He'll bless you with His presence and with His power. But you walk contrary. And you walk where you ought not to be walking. And it won't be long before the devil will make you take a stand. Try to make you take a stand. You go out with young folks and they start drinking. Sooner or later someone's going to ask you, you don't drink? You get around a crowd that's taking drugs and it won't be long before somebody's going to say, don't you want just a little bit of this? And you can go on and on with that kind of scenario. You get with the wrong crowd and Satan will make you take a stand or else deny the Lord Jesus Christ, one or the other. It's easy. It's so much better to be with the Lord's people, isn't it? When God's people who want to do right, to be with them. And I'm not talking about just at the house of God. I'm talking about in fellowship with them. Maybe on Saturday night when the world's out having their night, to be with God's people and to have fellowship one with the other and derive the strength that comes from it. Then there was another lady that comes along and asks him, says, aren't you one of the disciples? And Peter says, I don't know the man. And then verse 27. By the way, sandwiched in between that, verse 25, Simon Peter stood and warmed himself. I think he was trying to warm himself. You ever been really cold and walked up to a fire? You know how it is? You can burn yourself on one side and still cold on the other side. I'm sure that's the way Peter was. He was standing there probably pretty close to the fire. The Bible tells us not only that, but he sat down with those individuals at this fire. He got comfortable with them. He was kind of the opposite of that man that David talks about in Psalms chapter 1. He was walking in the counsel of the ungodly. He was standing in the way of sinners. And he was sitting in the seat of the scornful. He had sat down trying to warm himself. He probably could warm his body, but he was not able to warm his soul on the inside. Now, and by the way, it says, and Peter denied again and cursed and swore he didn't know the Lord. And immediately the cock crew. You know the story. The Bible tells us that Jesus walked by and he looked upon Peter. And Peter wept bitterly. If we were to end the story right there, how in the world could we get from that to to Acts chapter 2 when Peter's standing up and boldly preaching to all those thousands. And 3,000 was added unto the church. How does Peter get from going away weeping bitterly to the power that God gave him on the day of Pentecost? There's another fire that answers that question. In chapter 21, verse 2 tells us that there was 5 people here. Simon Peter says, "I go a-fishing." And there were some others that said, "We'll go with you." And that's actually in verse 3. And they said unto him, "We will go with thee." And they went forth and entered into a ship immediately. And that night they caught nothing. Peter came to these brethren and says, "I'm going fishing." That, what was that? It was an invitation, wasn't it? In other words, you want to come with me? Come on. You know, it's bad not to come to church when the church is meeting, but it's a whole lot worse when we influence others not to come as well. If you stay home, lots of times you're influencing your children, and you stop coming long enough, and it won't be long before they'll realize they can stop coming as well, and you'll influence others. When we're all in the house of God like we ought to be, we're influencing others for good. Peter was influencing these brethren, I'm afraid, in a negative way. Nevertheless, the Bible tells us they went to fishing. Why he wanted to go fishing, I don't know. Maybe he just wanted to get away from everything. Maybe he wanted to quell his conscience or try to ease his conscience. Maybe he had some bills to pay. I don't know what it was. Or maybe it was just symbolic of the fact that he decided to go back to his old way of life. I don't know what it was, but he decided to go fishing. But he didn't catch a single thing. Verse 4 tells us, "But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore. But his disciples knew not that it was Jesus." He began to ask him then, says, "Children, do you have any meat?" In other words, have you caught anything? And they tell him, says, "We've fished all night and we didn't catch anything." And so Jesus says, "Cast your net on the right side." Now then, I heard one fellow say one time, the difference between success and failure was the width of that ship. I don't believe that. I don't believe that's what it means there. You'd have a hard time convincing me they hadn't cast that net on both sides of the ship, fishing all night long. You ever been fishing and didn't catch anything on one side of the boat? What do? You try the other side, don't you? If you don't catch on one side of the pond or the lake, you try another side, don't you? They tried both sides. That's not what the difference was in success and failure. The difference between success and failure was listening to the Lord Jesus Christ. They had been rebellious to Him and disobedient to Him, and therefore, they didn't catch anything. And now, and by the way, rebellion pays an awful high price. It'll pay a high price in your life. Don't be rebellious to the will of God when He's leading you. Here, these men, the difference was when we allow the Lord Jesus Christ to give the orders. Peter had been giving his own orders, but now Christ gives the orders. When Christ gives the orders, when He gives the commands, and we follow Him, there's going to be results that's going to come from it. Then, as soon as the Lord said that, John, who obviously had keen insight, look, nobody knew that it was the Lord, but he says, "It is the Lord." Just as soon as Peter heard that, the Bible tells us he put his fisher's coat and dived into the water. Now remember, it's a cool time of the year. It was at night and they were cold. They were standing by a fire. But Peter dives into that water and he swims to the shore where the Lord Jesus Christ is. Now I want you to notice verse 9. "And as soon then as they were come to land," the rest of the men come and they had caught so much, their nets were so full that they come and they drag in the net with the fish. "And as soon then as they were come to land, they saw fire of coals there and fish laid upon it and bread." That's an inviting scene, isn't it? If you're cold, you've been fishing all night, you're hungry and you're worn out, here's a fire to warm your body, and here's food to fill the hunger, your natural needs for that time. Jesus had provided everything that they needed on that occasion. And Jesus says, "Come and dine." And none of the disciples thus ask Him, "Who art thou?" Knowing that it was the Lord. You ever had an experience like that? When something happened and when it was all over, there was such a deliverance, you didn't have to think about who it was. You knew that it was the Lord that had brought you through that trial. You ever been involved maybe in an automobile and come just that close, and you knew that it wasn't because you were that good a driver or reflexes, but the Lord had delivered you on that occasion. They knew that it was the Lord. There was something that had to take place. place here, however. Peter had to get some things straightened out with the Lord. But the Lord is preparing him. He's a lot different. He's a lot more sympathetic than doctors. When the doctor's going to operate on you, what they do? They tell you, don't eat. You know, after midnight or 11 o'clock or whenever it is, don't eat anything. My wife's had 3 or 4 surgeries in the last year. They tell her, she wants to know every time she has, what's the last minute I can eat? They finally told her 12 o'clock. She stays up to 11:30 and packs it in. She's had enough surgeries to know that she's got to wait a long time to eat again. Well, they didn't tell him to withhold food here. In fact, the Lord fed him. Isn't the Lord good to us? Even when we've sinned, we come to His house. Maybe even when we haven't repented. And yet He feeds us from His Word. And His goodness just convicts us. Oh, what an experience that is when we come. Now, sin must be dealt with to the extent of its influence. Did you catch that? Sin, confession, repentance, must be dealt with to the extent of its influence. If you have an evil thought toward your brother, or maybe you have a lustful thought toward another woman or another man or something like that, do you need to come before the church and confess that publicly? No, that's between you and the Lord. You take that to the Lord and you confess that to the Lord. However, when you have a public offense, there needs to be a public confession. Peter had denied the Lord how many times? 3 times. How many times did the Lord ask him, "Do you love me?" 3 different times. 3 different times Peter got the opportunity to confess him, "Lord, Thou knowest I love Thee." Isn't it good when you have that opportunity and when you can do it and you confess Him? Doesn't it make you feel good? When I confessed the Lord in baptism and followed Him, I've told folks this 100 times and I hope I live long enough to tell it 100 more times. I really don't know where I slept that night after I was baptized. I slept somewhere between the sheets in heaven. It was a wonderful, wonderful experience because I had the opportunity to confess my Lord before men in this world. The Lord allowed him to confess it. And why would, by the way, he says, "Lovest thou me more than these?" I've heard a lot of controversy and a lot of preachers debate about what he was talking about. I think the most common opinion is that he was talking about fishing and these fish that they were eating. I hold a little different opinion on that. I personally believe that probably the Lord, here's these disciples sitting down there. They're eating around that fire. I believe probably the Lord said, "Lovest thou me more than these?" These disciples right here. And it clicked in his mind. He had said, "Though all men forsake you, I will never forsake you." And Peter realizes his flesh is just as weak as anybody else. Let me tell you, I don't care if you're a preacher. I don't care if you're a deacon. I don't care who you are. Your flesh is weak. All flesh is weak. And all of us are susceptible to the temptations of the devil when we're walking alone and we're depending upon the flesh and not following the Lord like we ought to be following Him. And He gives him the opportunity to confess his Lord. And 3 times he confesses that he loves Him. Let me ask you as I close here with this. Are you one of those disciples right now that's walking afar off? Are you one of those disciples whose heart is cold to the Lord? Maybe you can remember times in your life, maybe when you first joined the church, or maybe experiences past and gone, when you just felt so close to the Lord. I tell you, I've had some experiences on my bed, I just felt like I could just reach over there and touch Him when He felt so close. It's that way sometimes, isn't it? But doesn't He seem so distant? Doesn't He seem so far away when we get cold toward Him? I personally believe that one of the reasons, not the only reason, but one of the reasons that Whiskey River and places like that fill up on Saturday night is because there's some children of God that's trying to warm their soul with the fires of this world, and it just cannot be done. Now, most of the folks that's there is just to fill their old carnal, lustful flesh, and that's all it is. But there's some folks drink, there's some folks that do all the things that'll bring disaster in your life because they're trying to use the devil's fire, the world's fire, to warm, to meet that coldness that they have on the inside. When we got places like this, we got places of prayer, we got places of fellowship when the Lord will be there and give us that warm, warm feeling on the inside. He provides that fire for us. May the Lord add his blessings to these few thoughts.